didn't have a problem with it. Presley was older by 2 years. She came first and would always be number one with Anita.
I did my best by you, her mother said, suddenly defensive.
Here we go again. She brought a spoonful of morphine to her mother's lips. That might be true, she conceded. But it was also true that Anita's best fell far short of ideal. Until they came to Whiskey Creek, she and Presley had been dragged through almost every state in the western half of the country. They had gone hungry and cold and been left alone in cars or with strangers for indefinite periods of time. They'd even been forced to beg on street corners or at the entrances to malls when their mother deemed it necessary.
You never cut me any slack, Anita complained, snorting as she attempted to shift positions.
Determined to preserve the peace, Cheyenne changed the subject. Are you hungry? Would you like a sandwich or some soup? Her mother waved dismissively.
I can't eat right now.
Cheyenne helped her get comfortable and smoothed the bedding. The meds will make you sick if you don't get something in your stomach. Remember what happened last night?
I'm sick anyway. I can hardly keep anything down. And I don't want to put my dentures in. The damn things don't fit right. Where's your sister?
You know where Presley is. She works at the casino.
She never comes around anymore.
That had to be the painkiller talking. Not only did Presley live with them, she watched Anita during the day so Cheyenne could work at the bed and breakfast owned by her best friend's family. And as long as Presley didn't have the money to buy dope, she helped out on weekends too. She left a couple of hours ago. Already it seemed like an eternity to Cheyenne, and evidently Anita felt the same way. Growing more agitated, her mother shook her head.
No.
No what?
I haven't seen her in ages. She's abandoned me. I'm surprised you're the one who stayed.
It wasn't so unusual that Shy would be the daughter to come through for her in difficult times. She'd always been the most responsible in the family. She almost said so, but what was the point? Her mother would believe what she wanted. She'll be here again in the morning. And as soon as she got home, she'd crash in her bed.
Can you call her?
I'm here to take care of whatever you need. Why bother her?
Because I want to talk to her, that's why.
Shy knew she couldn't deal with her mother if she was going to be difficult again. Calm down, okay?
I'm not acting up.
She struggled to sit, but couldn't manage it.
Who the hell do you think you are? Where do you think you'd be without me anyway?
That's what I'd like to know. She had a feeling she'd be someplace better. But that was the suspicion talking. She normally didn't say such things. Today the words rushed out before Cheyenne could stop them. Then they hung in the air like a foul stench. Her mother blinked at her. Her eyes, though rheumy with sickness, could still turn mean. But she'd lost the power she'd once wielded. She could no longer frighten Cheyenne. Thank God. Anita must have realized it wouldn't do her any good to rail, because she didn't let her temper boil over. Her voice became whiny.
You can treat me like this when I'm about to die?
There was nothing more the doctors could do. They'd prescribed liquid morphine for the pain and Ativan to ease the anxiety, and released Anita so she could spend her last weeks at home. Pancreatic cancer typically moved fast, but Cheyenne didn't think Anita had arrived at her final moments quite yet. Let's not despair too soon.
You won't shed a tear when I'm gone.
Hoping to distract her, Cheyenne turned on the TV. I'll heat up some soup while you watch Jeopardy. Anita caught her before she could walk out.
I've always loved you. I could have abandoned you, but I didn't. I kept you.